morning, everybody. It's good to see you on this nice winter morning. I just can't believe my watch says 37 degrees on it. It's kind of hard to believe. Let's open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10. And as always, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We want to hand one to you so you can follow along with us. Mark chapter 10, we will be picking up in verse 46. The last section in chapter 10. You know, as we were singing that last song, that one lyric, "You've never failed me yet." Boy, did that just ring true in my heart. And he has never failed me. You know, he has certainly stretched me. He has certainly tested me, but he's never failed me. And I would imagine every single one of us in this room could actually say the same thing, that God has never failed you. You may not have gotten what you wanted, but we certainly know that we get what we need. And that's what God does. And so this morning as we study, I got to be honest with you, I'm so excited about this area. It's such a powerful area of Scripture, and it's such a reminder for us as believers in the power of our God, in the power of prayer, and really our determination and our commitment to be people of prayer. And, I don't think we'll ever end our lives and say we prayed too much. I think all of us would say we never prayed enough. But if we never stopped praying, it still wouldn't be enough. But this story is just so impactful and so powerful. And I really am praying that God would allow all of us, I think Pastor RJ prayed it, I even think Blake prayed it, that we would receive what God has for us. And so before we get into this word, I just want to pray and ask God to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive his word. So let us pray. Father, it is truly a pleasure to be here this morning. With our aches and pains, with our struggles, our ups, our downs, it is always good to be in the house of God, to be around like-minded men and women that love the Lord, that love your word. And I pray, God, that we would have a hunger that would really stir up in us, Lord, a desire to pray prayers that are asking heaven to be opened and that you would reach your hand down into our circumstances, meet the needs that we have, whether they're physical, whether they're emotional, spiritual, financial, Lord, whatever. If our hearts are broken, God, I pray that we would seek you. As Pastor RJ, with all of our hearts, seek you, Lord, in our time of need, believing by faith that you will open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon us, so much so that we would not be able to contain it, that we would not be able to store it, that we would have to give it away. So bless us so much that we would be forced to bless someone else. And so, God, I pray, pour out your spirit upon us. As I said, open our eyes and ears and our hearts to receive this word so that we would be faithful followers of Christ. Bless your church, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk about prayer, obviously, and really this idea of gaining God's attention. And I think sometimes it can be that way in our prayers when we think maybe, you know, is God listening? Is God there? I pray in the same prayer over and over. I'm not seeing the results that I want. Why is God not listening? And when we think about gaining God's attention, I purposely set that as the title for us to think about it, because the reality is, if you truly stop for a moment and pray, you have God's ear. By faith, he's going to listen to your prayer. And again, it's not based upon our past obedience. It's not based upon any past thing we've done in our life. It's when we come to God in prayer, it's like, Lord, I have a need, or I just want to worship you. You know, prayer is not only asking God for something. Prayer can be that thing of saying, thank you, Lord, a prayer of thanksgiving, to truly just say, Lord, I'm just thankful that you're in my life. And to really become that person that practices prayer. I think we all could become better prayers, right? Not necessarily the often, maybe yes, maybe for some of us, more often pray, but to pray those prayers that really just are believing heaven's going to come down, are believing that our circumstances are going to change. And I'm not saying a prayer of faith like, oh, I'm just going to tell God what to do and he's going to do it. It's never that. God, please never let that be there. But it should be also a prayer of expectation, a prayer of believing that God can answer, and maybe he will, and perhaps he does, and hopefully he'll get the glory. So gaining God's attention is intentional. Because when you come to God in prayer, listen, as again, Pastor RJ so wise is it, when two or more are gathered in his name, he's there. And when you take time to pray, you're entering into the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God is. God has given us that access. So when you pray, you have the attention of God. I don't ever want you to think that sometimes you go to prayer and God isn't listening. I can't even imagine if our prayers were selfish that God still wouldn't listen. You know, I think like any wise parent, you're going to listen to your kids and you go, okay, that's dumb. You're not going to give them what they want, right? And maybe God does that, but he's listening. You know, he's there. And I thought of a couple things to kind of give us this idea. You know, children try to get their parents' attention. And I don't have kids, and I've been out to dinner with some of the people in our church, and I'm absolutely amazed at the mom, and literally, mom has no idea that that's even happening around her. I'm just like, how long is this going to go on? Mom. If I'm not like, I'm not going to call out any names, but it's like, your child wants you, and oh, really? There's this filter, right? There's this filter. It's like, I'm not hearing that. I'm sure it's, moms have heard it a lot, right? You hear it all day long. Eventually, you're just going to say, whatever, you'll be fine. When the scream gets to this level, then we know to pay attention. Maybe that's it. There's that filter, right? The kid's trying to get the parent's attention. And I'll be honest, when I'm watching TV, I find I have a filter. My wife's requests go unheard. I mean, eventually she'll be like, are you listening to me? Did you say something? I'm sorry. And maybe it's just because I know she wants me to do something and I just want to watch my show. I don't really want to take the trash out. I don't want to fix the flowers, whatever. I just, again, a filter. And I say that for us to laugh, but I also say that in an absolute contrast, God never ignores us. God doesn't have a filter. There isn't a time when God says, I'm so tired of hearing from you. Ever. Never think that you can't. I believe that we should be asking God more often. And I think sometimes we find ourselves asking God not often enough, because if we ask a few times and we don't get what we want, we think God doesn't want us to have it, so we stop. I say pray until you get your answer, knowing that no is an answer, or if God changes your heart, redirects your prayer. That is a prayer that is spirit-led, that God is guiding. And so persistence in prayer. God is always listening. And what I love about God is that every single time you pray to him, he has 100% of his focus and attention upon your prayer. And isn't it amazing God can do that multiple times at the same time? Billions of prayers going up and God gives 100% attention. I love that. And I love this verse. It's not formatted right the way I wanted it, but Psalm 34:15, if we'll write this down, says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And how many of us know that our righteousness is only in Christ? Okay, just God's eyes are not on those who are religious. It's on those who love the Lord. So our righteousness comes from Christ. Anyway, and his ears are open to their cries. Let that be a verse that you remember. His ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to hear your prayer. There's no filter with God at all. And so let's just go with that mindset. Let's understand what we're getting into here with blind Bartimaeus. This is so, and maybe it's just where I am in my life right now. Maybe it's where I am with the things that are happening currently in my both physical and spiritual condition, but this has spoken to me all week long. Verse 46, Mark chapter 10. Now they, and this is Jesus and his disciples, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, must have been a very short visit, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Significant. Highlight that in your Bibles. "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. Amen is right. Praise the Lord. And look at this. And followed Jesus on the road. I'll tell you, it's a very simple story. And Mark doesn't give us a lot detail, but he gives us enough of the power of this story for us to grasp it. Again, gaining God's attention, you know, for blind Bartimaeus, I like to remind myself, what was his profession? Beggar. So blind Bartimaeus is used to asking people for something, right? I would imagine we could assume he's begging for money, he's begging for his provision, he can't work, he's blind, so he's probably asking people as they're walking by, you know, with a can or a hat or something, and to throw some money in. So the thing we can learn from blind Bartimaeus, number one, is we need to get used to asking, right? We need to get in the habit of asking. And I'm not saying asking others for money. I'm not saying asking others for anything, although that's not a bad thing in the family of God. In fact, just this week I sat with a gentleman who's been here to the church a few times, and I wanted to get to know him a little bit better. And so as I'm sitting with hearing his story, I'm just moved with compassion the needs that he has with himself and his wife, more particularly in the physical condition that she's in. And my heart was just, again, weighing down. I shared this on Wednesday night at our Wednesday night Bible study, and it's like, I'm just thankful that God gives us hearts to be wanting to help people that we can't necessarily get anything back from. Don't you think that's important? That truly we would help meet people's needs in their time of need and not worry about anything coming back. And so to have that heart to want to help someone, to want to be there for someone, I think it's a good thing. And to be willing to tell people when we have need. But ultimately, asking God. You know, again, being in the habit of asking God on a routine basis. And I ask you personally, are you a person that has no problem coming to the Lord in prayer? Asking for something. There's people in this room who I know personally that have the gift of prayer. And they love to intercede for people. And I'll tell you what, if you gave me a list of all your prayers, they would fervently pray for you. They just love to pray. And so we have to be those people like blind Bartimaeus that aren't afraid to ask. Because if we truly are afraid to ask, then the Bible says if you ask not, or you have not because you ask not. So we have to ask. Well, blind Bartimaeus is in the habit of asking. And the thing I see in the first few verses is his persistence. Right? He's persistent in his asking. I think it's important as we look at this. Well, let me back up just a bit. It's interesting that Mark says it's blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Because interestingly enough, the name Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. So basically, he's telling us, the son of Timaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's repeating himself. And so at first you go, all right, what's the point? But listen, this is the beautiful thing about the Word of God. It's all important. The meaning of Timaeus is honor. Bartimaeus' name means son of honor. And I understand, you know, with Palm Sunday and Easter, it's been some time since we've been in the book of Mark. But if you were here the last time we were in the book of Mark, were there two people not looking for a position of honor? James and John, and another gospel says with their mother, come to Jesus and say, I want my sons to sit at your left hand and at your right hand. They wanted that place of honor. They desired that place of honor. And it's interesting that Mark, right after that story, gives us the story of blind Bartimaeus, whose name itself means son of honor. It's all important, guys. Because James and John wanted the position. Jesus says, I can't give it to you. That's my Father in heaven. And you're going to suffer with me as well. But here, blind Bartimaeus, a man who's a beggar, whose name means son of honor, we see God do what? An amazing miracle in his life. And it tells us that the way to Jesus, the way to answered prayer, is a way of humility, right? Did you see what Bartimaeus said first? He didn't ask to be healed. He didn't ask for his sight to be restored. The first thing he says is, calls him Jesus, son of David, identifying him as the Messiah. And then what does he say? Have mercy on me. If there's anything we need in our lives, it's God's mercy. And I think that is a beautiful place to start our prayers, is coming to God saying, Lord, I want you to give me what I don't deserve. And I don't want you to give me what I do deserve. I need mercy, God. Be merciful to me. And it reminds me in the Gospel of, let me turn my page here, in the Gospel of Luke, if you remember, the tax collector came into the temple, and I didn't write down what his other name was, but this other gentleman is also there with him. Where is it? It says this, and the tax collector standing afar, he was a tax collector, and the tax collector standing afar off, who would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then there was a righteous man there, right, that says, oh, God, thank God that I'm not like this tax collector. Whose heart did God hear? The one that said, be merciful on me, a sinner. And so when we come to God, we come with great need. Just plain out without needing anything. Our need is for more of God in our lives, more of God's mercy upon our lives. And so when we come to God, we should be persistent. And I love the fact that the Bible tells us that a bunch of people said, listen, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't bother him. Guys, we never bother God. And the more people tell you to stop, that should be a reminder to keep on going. That should be motivation to say, you know what, I'm not going to give up. People might tell me to stop. I might tell me to stop, you know, because I'm not getting the answer I want. But be persistent in your prayers. Because the persistence that blind Bartimaeus showed, if you notice, I think it's in verse 49. Notice what it does for Jesus. He stood still. Blind Bartimaeus' persistence of seeking Christ and getting that mercy from him stops Jesus dead in his tracks, because his desire was for mercy. See, he didn't come to Jesus for anything physical. He came for something spiritual. And if we could come to God in that position to say, Lord, you're allowing this to happen into my life. You're working in this way. This is, for me right now, it's just this season that I'm in on a physical struggle, and I'm trying with all of my might to have faith to believe that truly God's grace is sufficient for me. In fact, I was just at a youth conference or young adult conference yesterday teaching, and there was another Calvary pastor there who also has back pain, and his experience is that he feels like God is telling him, you're not trusting in me. You're trusting in epidurals. You're trusting in doctors. You're trusting in surgeries. You need to get all that stuff off your slate, and you need to trust in me. And that sure is easy to say, isn't it? But to do it, to say, God, I'm not going to trust in anything but you, that is an amazing amount of exercise of faith. And I do want to believe that God will do the miraculous in my life. And I want to believe it for you in your life as well. I ask you, when was the last time you prayed and God showed up in a way that you did not even expect? You maybe prayed for one thing and God gave you something else, and it was so much better. Because I think that is really where God wants to show us that his ways are better than our ways. When you're asking for something that you feel like you have to have, or you're asking him to move something out of the way of your life, to make your life easier, and God's going, no, that needs to stay there because that's the work I'm doing. And when he does something miraculous in your life, you can come back and you can go, Lord, thank you that I didn't get what I wanted. Thank you that I was persistent in my prayer and I saw you answer me. First thing we need to do is seek mercy. We don't have the details. But I just ask myself, why would he ask for that? Why would he ask for mercy? Because really, you ask for mercy when what? You're guilty of something and you want forgiveness. So perhaps he was guilty of something. Perhaps he was doing something, you know, on the sly, and he felt he needed that forgiveness. So I think sometimes when we come to God for mercy, we have to admit, God, I'm guilty, and believe that he will forgive us. Something to think about. Yeah, mercy is not getting what we deserve, and I'm glad I don't get what I deserve on a regular basis. You know, when it comes to prayer, and you kind of sensed it in the beginning, but that prayer should be bold, that prayer should be confident, that prayer should be expectant. Spurgeon says this, and I love this quote. I know it's long. I'm not going to read it all. Take the gates of heaven and shake them with thy vehemence, as though thou wouldest pull them up, post and bar and all. Stand at mercy's door and take no denial. Knock and knock and knock again, as though that you would shake the very spheres. But thou, I love this, but what thou wouldest obtain an answer to thy cries. Should have got the English version on that one. But the fact is, Spurgeon is saying, come to heaven, come to the gates of heaven, and shake them until you get your answer. It's with such fervency, it's with such passion, and knock and knock and knock. I mean, Jesus says, ask, seek, find, knock, it will be open to you. Don't give up. Keep being persistent in the things that you're asking for. Find someone in your life that will go to you in prayer and agree together that God will answer. Because I feel there's such power in the numbers of people who pray for you. And I'm thankful for the people in my life that are fervently praying, that I can send a text to a group of people and say, pray for me right now, and they will. And to see the answer that comes. Again, it's just what I'm dealing with right now. But on Wednesday night, they prayed over me, over my back, and I experienced healing. It was short-lived, 24 hours, but you know what? I'll take it. And it's in the midst of those things that where God answers our prayer that we can't forget to continue to pray. Sure, it's a little discouraging that I have to text on Thursday. Okay, it's back. The hurt, you know, it's hurt, the pain is back. Did God fail? No, he didn't. It's just a reminder for us to be persistent in our prayers. And that's what he's showing me, and I think that's what he's showing all of us, that we need to be persistent in the things that we are praying for. See, there was opposition for Bartimaeus. I always want to call him Bart. there was opposition around him. And honestly, you can't really see it here in this particular gospel, but really it was the disciples that were telling blind Bartimaeus to be quiet. I mean, the very ones that are followers of Christ are telling him to stop. Gosh, I can't even imagine me telling, who would do that, right? Stop calling on the Lord. I don't see me ever giving you that counsel. If I do give you that counsel, fire me as your pastor. Right? It says we have to persevere. We have to keep on praying. And that was one thing, I think, for blind Bartimaeus that was so powerful. Don't give up asking for the Lord to speak to you. That's the first thing I see here, The next thing is his faith. You know, I mean, he comes to the Lord with an amazing amount of faith, crying out. Jesus stops dead in his tracks, turns to him, and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think when I read it, someone laughed, right? We all want to hear that. We all want to come to the Lord in prayer and hear the Spirit of the Lord say to us, "Ask whatever you want. Blank check. Go for it. You know, sky's the limit. Shoot for the fence." You know, I'd like to remind myself that sometimes I pray for a nickel when God wants to give me a $5 bill. I think I just pray too small. I pray too limited. I'm only asking God. You know, God, the Bible says he'll give us exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. Thank God. Because I think sometimes we don't ask enough. And so Jesus gives him a blank check. "What do you want me to do for you?" Which we've heard before in this chapter, which is interesting. He said that to James and John when they were asking to be on his left and right. But notice what it says in verse 51. After he asked that question, the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," which means "my Lord, my master." So there's faith there. "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Listen to me. He's a beggar, but I'll guarantee you this. He never asked anybody to give his sight to him. He never begged anybody. So that wasn't something that narrowly, that was like a normal thing that he would do. Can you imagine? "Got any money? And can you make me see again?" No, not you. No, he had faith to believe that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by and he was going to take his opportunity to say, "Give me mercy." And then when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Man, he did shoot for the fence, don't you think? Even if he didn't believe, in some senses, he believed enough in Jesus that he had the ability to do it. And I think he's heard testimonies from other people that heard that Jesus did heal blind people. And so here was his opportunity when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's like, "I want my sight." And I just love the fact that in the Gospels, I would venture to guess 95% of the time when Jesus answers people's prayers, which he always does, he always follows with, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you." And that is not, you have enough faith. That's not, you know, faith-based prayer. It's prayer that believes in God. It's faith to believe that God can do it. And that's the thing that Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus. He says, "You have faith to believe that I'll do it. I'm going to honor your faith." What a beautiful thing. So if God asked you today, right now, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would the answer be? And for some of us in this room, as I ask that question, you're like, "Ooh, I don't know what to ask for." Blind Bartimaeus had the answer. He was like, right away. It wasn't like, "Well, let me get back to you on that. I don't, what, this is, maybe I want a wife. Maybe I want a family. Maybe I want, you know, to be restored with my parents." I mean, there's a lot going on in his life. Again, he asked for mercy. I think he was guilty for something. But he had the answer right away. And guys, we need to be ready to answer God when he asks us. We need to be ready to give that answer and to give that response. When you're praying and you're sensing God's closeness and that openness to say, "God, I want you to do this. Because I believe in you, not because I'm a good person, not because I've done anything, not because I've, you know," don't ever think, "Man, I did 5 devotions this week. Whew, I'm going to get what I want." Those 5 devotions are going to draw you closer to God, and maybe you're going to believe more. But they don't qualify you for the answer. What qualifies you for the answer is your amazing faith in an amazing God. I believe that sometimes we leave the banquet table, we leave the altar in the presence of God without receiving everything he wants to give us. Listen, Jesus, it is kind of silly when you think about it. It was obvious what he needed, right? It's blind Bartimaeus. Everybody knows blind Bartimaeus, okay? You walk by this place, and he's always there. Jesus knew what he physically needed, but he had to ask him. He wanted him to ask. Whew, I think that's huge. Sometimes God will ask you what you want. He already knows. He wants to see how you're going to respond. How would you respond to that question as Jesus proposed it to you? Be ready. Be eager to ask God for the impossible. Because really, that's what he asked for, isn't it? He asked for the impossible. And so, believing that he would do it, Jesus healed him. I also think it's important that when Jesus stops and he tells them, bring him to me, I think that's significant as well. Jesus doesn't always just come to us, right? We need to go to him. I mean, it would have been easier for Jesus to go to blind Bartimaeus than for them to lead blind Bartimaeus to Jesus. But we need to come to the Lord. We need to come into the presence of God. And I think that's significant when Jesus says, bring him to me. You know? And then they respond, be of good cheer. He's calling for you. That gives me God bumps. You know what I'm saying? It's not goosebumps. I think they're God bumps. That the Lord would be calling for you. That he would be calling for an appointment with you. That he would call you to come into his presence and to say, ask me. Guys, God just wants to spend so much time with you. And that doesn't mean stop your busy life, because we all have busy lives, and I think we'll just be busy until the Lord returns. But it means making sure you're coming into the presence of God during your busy life. It is hard, and I understand it's difficult for us to say, give me 5 minutes alone to quiet all the responses, all the emails, all the things that take our attention. But where are you finding time alone with God? Ask yourself this. If God's not answering your prayers, is it because you're not taking the time to be with him? Because I think sometimes we just expect God to know what we need. I mean, blind Bartimaeus, God knew he needed to be restored to sight. God knows what we need, but he wants us to ask. He wants to have that relationship. It's not just giving you what you want. It's the relationship that's most important. So Jesus just wants to be with you. Blind Bartimaeus' faith was determined. We see that in how he cried out to him. His faith was that he knew who Jesus was, as he calls him the Son of David. His faith was humble as he comes to Jesus saying, I have need mercy. His faith was also submitted to Jesus as he's calling him Rabboni, which means, again, my Lord, my Master. It's not just Rabbi. And finally, his faith was that he could tell Jesus exactly what he wanted. That's the kind of relationship we need to have. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have, is have an amazing amount of faith in him to believe that we can ask for what we want. Blind Bartimaeus knew it had nothing to do with himself for Jesus to answer his prayer. And then the last thing, I don't know if you notice it, in verse 52, Jesus says, go your way, your faith has made you well. So Jesus tells Bart to go his way, just go. Do you notice where Bart went? He didn't go his way, he followed Jesus. He was determined to be a follower of Christ. He wanted to stay close to Christ. And so the beautiful thing is, when Jesus gives us the answer, we got to make sure we continue to follow. We got to make sure we continue to stay close to the Lord. I think it's Luke's gospel that tells us that he followed Jesus and glorified the Lord. And others gave praise to God because what Jesus had done. I love the fact that we can impact other people's lives by how much God blesses us. So all the blessings in your life can not only impact you, but it can impact your neighbors, your friends, your family. That, my friends, is a blessing that comes from knowing God. So listen, when you come to God in prayer, just like this, try to remember this story, because I believe it's an example set for us so eloquently here in the gospel that we would pray this way as well. We must come to God like blind people. Like, we don't know what God wants. We don't know what the heart of God is. We don't know how he's going to answer or how we're going to respond. So we come blindly asking for God's mercy. Come to him knowing our need for his mercy. We must come to him waiting for the opportunity that God gives us to ask him. Right? Blind Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road begging. And here comes Jesus. Here comes his opportunity. When is our opportunity with the Lord? When is your opportunity to, you know that when you come to the Lord in that time, that he's going to answer your prayers. And finally, you got to take action. Blind Bartimaeus took action. He put his faith into action. He didn't just stand there. He didn't just go, I don't know. When Jesus asked him, what do you want? He was ready to give an answer. And then he followed the Lord. So guys, I pray that we will never forget this, that we will actually exercise this, practice this, this week, today, this afternoon, when you come to the Lord, say, Lord, give me mercy. Show me your will, Lord. And then ask bold prayers, because I believe that's what God wants to do. I think God's up in heaven ready to bless us if we would simply ask. Again, that verse just in the back of my mind. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You have not. It's like, I want to ask. And I don't think it's wrong for us to ask those prayers that are absolutely powerful. So I pray this week, when you think about your time of prayer that you know that you have, that intimate time with the Lord, that his attention is upon you because of what Jesus has done for you. So pray bold prayers and then tell other people about them. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for today. We thank you for this simple story, yet so powerful, written in the scriptures. A man with great need, a man in a lowly position, but yet you answered him, God. You looked into his heart, you saw his faith. You saw his faith in you and his confidence in you to do a miracle in his life. And Lord, deep down you saw the fruit that would be produced, the benefit there would be to healing this man, that it would cause him to follow you and to glorify you, and it would cause others to praise your name. And so as I think about the people in this room and the things that you've done in their lives, and how it's drawn me closer to you to have greater faith in you and to glorify our Father in heaven. Because we know mercy and grace is not anything that should come freely for us. We don't deserve it, but yet you give it so freely. So have mercy on us, God, when we ask amiss. Have mercy on us, God, when we forget to ask. Have mercy upon us, God, when we do these things that build distance in our relationship with you. We pray today that we would be drawn close to you, that we would come into your presence, pray prayers of faith, and believe that the answer will come in the time that you have allotted. Bless my brothers and sisters, I pray. Bless this day, bless our week. We look forward to gathering together in your name, whenever you draw us, keep our eyes on you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.